Please join with me in prayer. Our Father, even though Christmas Day is a day when we want to have lovely time with family, and we want to especially focus upon the great gift of your Son, we know that we also live in a world that's more troubled than ever. And so for us, Lord, even for me, looking at some of the news items, there's been lots of bad things happening, from domestic violence in our own country to wars in other places. And we know that always the only answer for the world's problems is your Son Jesus. We thank you that he is the Prince of Peace, and we thank you for how he's the one who's able to settle our hearts and help us to walk in your good ways. And Lord, the world needs Jesus more than ever. So I want to ask, Father, that through all the different services that are held in carol services and church services and carols being played in shopping centres, would you please give us ears to hear the beautiful message of your love for us and why we need Jesus, that people would come to respond to him. I want to ask that especially for our friends and our neighbours, our loved ones, our family members who don't know you yet. And Lord, I also ask that you would help people at this time. Christmas is about buying presents, and some people can't even do that because they don't have the means. So we also know another challenge for the world has been the cost of living. And so we ask that you'd help us to do what we can to support each other. But Lord, I want to just say thank you again for the great gift of your Son. I thank you for how you have preserved your word and recorded it for us so that we can read it for ourselves that very first Christmas. Thank you for the Gospels that declare to us how amazing it was when Jesus was born, fulfilling prophecy, coming into our world at the right time for a very, very special purpose. May you bless your word to us this morning. May you teach us and guide us as we look at it. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who is able to open our eyes and help us to understand that we might experience the joy and the peace and the hope of Christmas. And I ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but it sounds like you do. I love singing carols. Do you? Yeah. It's a pity it's only one part of the year, but anyway, carols are fantastic. And the carols vary a lot. There are carols that retell the story. This morning we sang, While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night, and Away in a Manger. And some of the carols speak very beautifully of who Jesus is. Like, what child is this? That carol. And Hark the Herald Angels Sing has it also. And other carols explain to us so well why Jesus came. That last carol, just picking up on some of the lines, weren't they amazing, some of those lines, where it says, God and sinners reconciled. What about that? God and sinners reconciled. We're friends again with God through Jesus coming into our world. And then we have that last verse, born that man no more may die. Can it be? We face death. We just had a funeral service for Val. But Jesus was born that we might not die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. These are great lyrics, so full of the word of God, helping us to understand why Jesus came. And as a result, our hearts should be filled with absolute joy and delight. And our first two carols was about that. Do you remember them? O Come All Ye Faithful. And Joy to the World. And there should be a human response if we comprehend the wonder of Jesus coming into our world and why he came. Now yesterday, that was a Sunday, wasn't it? We looked at the first part of Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. And we looked at the birth of Jesus, Mary and Joseph coming to Bethlehem and Jesus being born. And this morning on Christmas Day, we're going to continue the story and we're going to be looking at what happened that very night after Jesus was born. And we read it already in Luke chapter 2, 8 to 14. But let me read Luke chapter 2, 6 and 7 first of all. So this is after Mary and Joseph got to Bethlehem after the census. And it says in verse 6, while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, And she wrapped him in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And if you were here yesterday, you'll know that I make quite an emphasis upon this extraordinary thing that Jesus is born and placed in a manger, an animal feeding trough. And that means he's in a stable. Wow. So he is in such humble circumstances. He's born into such humble circumstances, even born in obscurity, isn't he? And it so matches, what did I say? So matches the character of Jesus, that Jesus should come like that because he is the humble God. It feels like you can't say those two things together, but that's how it is. Jesus is the humble God, the God who didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself. Wow, that's Jesus. He is the servant king. There is no one like Jesus. So he's born in such humble situation. But God wasn't going to just make it something obscure. I love this. God the Father was going to make something big about it. So we read about that in Luke chapter 2, 8 and 9. Let's read that. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. So that's normal. Shepherds out in the fields looking after their flocks by night. This is not normal. Verse 9. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. This is God's way to tell the shepherds and us who read these words that the Saviour had been born. Do you love this? An angel coming down. And the angel, you know, you can only imagine how bright it was. He's in the presence of God. He comes down with the glory of God around him. And it's night time. And you know, back in those days, they didn't have electricity. So you imagine how dark it is. And suddenly the angel comes and the whole hillside is lit up. And if you're a shepherd, I am sure you'd be pretty frightened. And if you were a sheep, you'd be frightened too. Man, it's all happening. Now, I want you to pick up something first of all. Here's a big thing. Who did God send the angel to announce the birth of Jesus? You've got to get these things. Did he send him, as you might expect, to the religious hierarchy in the city of Jerusalem? No. Did he send him, the angel, to the noble and the mighty in the land? No. He sent them to shepherds. Shepherds, do you know where their status was in life? Down at the bottom. They were not considered very high at all. They're not even sleeping at home. They've got to sleep and care for the sheep in the paddocks. God sends this good news by the angel to the shepherds. Wow. It's amazing, isn't it? God never does anything randomly. What is that saying to us? Even the lowliest matter to God. Even you, even us. We all matter to God. God's attention is not just to the mighty, it's to all people, even to the shepherds. How amazing that God would send the angel to the shepherds. So the shepherds get to hear the great news. And they were very frightened. But what great news are going to hear? Let me read now verses 10 and 11. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born for you. He is Christ the Lord." So first of all, don't be afraid. They definitely needed to hear that. It's often what an angel has to say when they meet somebody, a human. But what I want you to pick up on is these words. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy. And I want you to realize something here, that they're amazing words to hear. These are God's words via the angel to human beings called shepherds. And if you have any idea of human history, and especially the biblical history that God has given us, you should know that we should not be receiving from God good news of great joy. Is that true? What have we done as humans? Well, pretty much at the start, we turned our back on God. Adam and Eve, and all of us have done it. And we started worshipping and serving created things and not the Creator who made us. Wow. And then we were made in God's image, but we haven't lived out that image of God, that beautiful image. We've lived out a sinful image, an image that hurts people and harms people. And we've hurt God. We've angered him. We've upset him that we've done that. So when I think of this, I would think that the angel should be coming down and saying, "Rightio, you guys, I've got bad news for you. You're in big trouble." Does that make sense? That's what we should be hearing. But that's not the case at all. Why is it not the case? Why does the angel say, "I bring you good news of great joy"? There's only one reason, and that reason is two words. But God. We don't actually know God that well. We think he's powerful. If we believe in him, we think he's the judge. We think he's distant. But the true God, the great God, is like no other. He is full of mercy. He is great in love. He abounds in grace. And when you know the heart and character of God, it makes sense that he should send the angel with these words at the birth of Jesus. "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy." That's our God. And why is it good news of great joy? Because God was sending Jesus into the world to be the Saviour. To be our Saviour. What amazing love. What incredible grace. What abundant mercy that God should send his Son into the world to be our Saviour. And that's what the angel wanted to bring out very powerfully. "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born for you." A Saviour. Jesus came to save us. I want to read to you John chapter 3, 16 and 17, including verse 17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And listen to this. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." That verse 17 is so important. This is the heart of God. This is what was behind Jesus coming into our world. And I love why Jesus came. He came to be our Saviour. To save us from what? Three big things I can think of. He came to save us from a life of despair and hopelessness where there's no purpose. What's the purpose of life? Jesus came as the light of life. He came to show us the way, to show us what life is about, to bring us fullness of life. That's a big thing. In a world where there's so much depression and despair. He also came for some other really big things. He came to save us from judgment. We were in trouble with God. And God's great love, he sent his Son so that Jesus might be born and live and then die upon a cross. And on that cross, to bear the wrongs that we have done. To be punished for the things that we have done against God. So that God could truly forgive us and pardon us and save us from judgment. We also desperately need a pardon from God. Jesus brings it. And here's another thing. Jesus came to save us from death. From death. He knows how death ravages the world, death and disease. And Jesus came to bring us life, life to the full, and eternal life. He came, he lived, he died, he rose again, so that if we trust in him and turn to him, death is only a doorway into God's glorious presence. We live forever. Wow, what a Saviour. What do you think? We ought to be so delighted. Jesus came to save us from all those big things. He came to do that. There is no Saviour like Jesus. The problem is, it seems like we don't grasp it that well. And I pray even for myself that my head and heart might really understand the beauty and the glory and the wonder of Jesus being the Saviour, the wonderful Saviour. Because that's how then, when I get hold of that, then I live my life purposefully for him. But let's have a look at something else that the angel said. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born for you. And the next thing he says is, he is Christ the Lord. And I love how the angel wants us to be very clear about who the Saviour is. He is Christ. Christ is the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah. Christ means the promised one. Jesus was the promised one. He had been promised way back to come into our world to rescue us and redeem us. He's the anointed of God, the appointed by God to be our Saviour. There is no other but Jesus. He is the Christ. And this Christ, even though in his human lineage, he's of the line of Abraham, even though he is a great-great-great-great-grandson of David, he's Christ the who? The Lord. And Lord is a divine title. Christ the Lord, that means Jesus, the one who's born, is Christ the Divine One. Christ the God. Isn't that extraordinary? The one who lay in a manger is none other than God the Son. Emmanuel, God with us. And I remember when I was a young man trying to grasp hold of who Jesus is. I just thought Jesus was a good teacher or religious leader. I never forget the day when I started to realize that he actually is my creator. And he's the one who came into my world and came into the world as a little baby and died on a cross for me. It blew my mind away that the greatest was the one who came to save me. And this was no surprise who Jesus was. God had spoken in the Old Testament about these things. In Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, it says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." Well, that reading we had yesterday, Micah chapter 5 verse 2. "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His going forth are from long ago, from days of eternity." The one born is the eternal one, both ways. This is Jesus, the one who's born. He's born, when he's born, he's not being created, he already existed. He's taking on human form when he's born, but he already existed. The eternal one came into our world. When I think of the song we sang, the carol we sang, in the second verse, listen to how Charles Wesley is trying to help us understand the wonder of who the Saviour is. In verse 2 of Hark the Herald Angels Sing, it says, "Christ, by highest heaven adored, Christ, the everlasting Lord, late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity." Fantastic words. "Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel." Man, that is fantastic lyrics. Full of biblical truth. He wasn't just a hymn writer, he was a preacher too. So it's in the song. Now I'm going to finish on something very, very special and very personal. Jesus is our Saviour. That's what the angel wanted to declare. That's what God wanted to declare through the angel. And he is Christ the Lord. He is God the Son, who's the Saviour. But the thing that should blow us away is those words that are repeated. There's twice it said. Let me read it to you again. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for the shepherds." No, for all the people. Then it says, "For today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born for you. He is Christ the Lord." And the big thing that we need to comprehend is that Jesus is the Saviour for all. He's the Saviour for the shepherds and the wise men and Mary and Joseph. We all need saving. He's a Saviour for the Jewish people. They need saving. You should be praying for them that they might come to embrace Jesus. He's a Saviour for the Muslim, for the Buddhist, for all the religious groups. Only he can save. He's a saviour for your neighbour. He's a saviour for all your family members. He's the only saviour. He's a saviour for the atheist and the agnostic, for the prostitute and the powerful. He is able to save all people. He is a saviour for all. And I love that. I love how he's come to save us all, even me. Even me with all my sin and flaws. He's a saviour for us all. But the thing is, not many of us are saved. And it's not because Jesus has limited love. He loves all people. It's not because when he died on the cross, his blood that was shed isn't able to cover your sins. He's able to wipe away the worst sins in our life. It comes down to us. We're the ones who don't respond to him and we don't receive him. And if only we did, then we would know the Saviour and we would be filled with peace and joy and hope. We'd be saved forever and have the best relationship ever with the living God. Now, what I've finished by saying to you, in verses 13 and 14, when the angelic choir sang, not only did they give glory to God, but they said something very important, or they sang something very important. Let me read to you now verses 13 and 14. And suddenly, there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among people with whom he is pleased. Now, there's a little bit of variation in the translation. This is a more literal translation I just read from. And those last words are very important. It says peace is toward a certain group of people. A people who please God. Did you hear that? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among people with whom he is pleased. God wants to give you peace. He wants to give you salvation if you please him. So that might be a bit of a dilemma. Because who pleases God? Do any of you please God? Well, you'll be surprised. Yes, you do please God. It's not by our sinfulness, but we please God when we humble ourselves and turn to Jesus and trust in him. I want to tell you that God is so pleased. He is absolutely delighted. He is filled with joy when we listen to him, when we understand what he's done for us, and we bow our knee to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, save me. God is so pleased. You're the ones who please him. And when you do that, Jesus comes into our heart. We are saved that very moment. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Peace fills our heart. The joy of the Holy Spirit. And we have a glorious and certain hope. And it's my prayer for all of us to be those people who experience the peace and the joy and the hope of Jesus because you have responded to him. You know what the greatest gift is. It's not what your spouse can give you or your children can give you, what you might buy yourself. The greatest gift is what God's given you, the gift of his son. And you're to love Jesus and receive him into your heart. So may the Lord help us to do that. It is upon us to do that. And we're going to sing now a very beautiful song, and I'm going to read to you the very first verse. Well, you probably know what it is. O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Saviour's birth. And now these words, I trust, will really bless us and touch us. It says, long lay the world in sin and error pining. We can even make it personal. Long lay me in sin and error pining away. Till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Isn't that beautiful? When Jesus appeared, when he came into our world, that's telling me a big thing. I matter to God. God loves me so much and everybody else in this world. And then it says, the thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. Why do we rejoice? For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. When Jesus came, everything changed. He came bringing peace, joy and hope. Well, what a lovely carol to finish on. And before I get you to stand, I do pray that you might have a very blessed Christmas. that you would allow the Spirit of Jesus to touch your heart. And if you're not there yet, that you'd come to love Jesus and turn to Him. And if you are there, that you might, no matter what your circumstances are, you might know the peace and the joy and the hope of our blessed Lord Jesus. Let's stand and sing.
Thank you.
you should have been here listening to that. It's a beautiful song, isn't it? I don't know, I'm finding it a bit hard to sing because I'm starting to tear up. I just love the lyrics. What, you know, and I saw this being sung at different concerts around the world, and it just touched me to think of these words being sung over all these people. That Jesus is our hope. He gives the soul great worth. He died for us. He came for us. If only we would open our heart to him. There's no one like Jesus, the lover of our soul. Amen. And I love how even right now, he's still in this world from the throne. From the throne, his eyes are upon each one of us. He sees us. He wants us to reach out to him and receive him. Let's pray. Our Father, we want to give you thanks for you're such an amazing God. The great God who planned to save us. In fact, it's right for us to call you God our Saviour. We thank you for that plan, that was an incredible cost to yourself. And you sent Jesus, and we thank you, Jesus. You at the right hand of the Father, you who see us from the throne. We thank you that you know everyone here, everyone watching online, and you care for us. You love us, despite how we've hurt you, despite what we've done against you. Thank you that you're willing to forgive us, to show us extraordinary grace and mercy and love. We are so blown away by you who care for us, coming into our world, becoming one of us in order to represent us and to die for us on the cross. Oh, Lord, I just want to say thank you, our Father and Jesus, for all that you've done for us. And may indeed we know you, Lord, and may it be our joy to sing your praises today and forever. Thank you so much that you are worthy of all praise. Not just the angels who praise you, we should be praising you even more. Lord, may you bless our day. May the thoughts we've looked at this morning keep coming back into our mind. Help us to be very conscious of who you are and what you've done for us. What a glory when you were born into our world. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.